the test. It's putting things to the test. So if you have your Bibles, I want to read that thing. We're good, Justin, if you want to just hop on the thing. We're going to read from the scripture. Why don't we go ahead and stand today? I'm going to read 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6 this morning. This is the word of God given to us, I believe, through the Apostle John. This was actually a young teenager that stood and walked with Jesus. We can go ahead and stand up. Yeah, sorry to, you can come on if you want to stand up. We're going to read the word of God. Six verses, so it won't be very long. So let's go ahead and start. Verse 1, this is the ESV, English Standard Version, translation. This was written about, originally in Greek, about 2,000 years ago. So let's hear it. This is from the inspired sacred scripture that we have. So, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Father, we thank you. We stand and pray after having read your word. And Lord, we ask you to and open our minds, our hearts up to your truth. Lord, today is a big session of just kind of talking about what is truth? How do we find truth? How do we know this stuff is true? How do we know how to discern what's not true? So, Father, would you come in and help us with our mental filter or heart filter as we learn and think about how to discern what's from God, what's not from God? So just be with us as we think about believing, as you say in verse 1, or not believing, and also putting things to the test that may be false, Lord. So just help us as we do that practice with our life every day. Help us to adopt that. We love you. We thank you for your word. Amen. You can sit down. So I wanted to quickly just share a little bit of my weirdness. So I haven't been to school in a while, but one thing in school that I really did like, I like a good test. Like, that's weird, I know. But one thing I didn't like about seminary, which is like master's work, where you learn like some Greek and a lot of stuff about the Bible. Like, you also learn like some ministry stuff. One thing I didn't love a lot about seminary is there weren't enough tests. Isn't that weird? Like, you are crazy, Austin. I'm not listening. Someone walks out now. I understand if that's true. But I want to be honest. I want to be transparent. I loved a good test. I like the adrenaline rush of like, oh, I gotta take this test and I gotta see if I know this stuff. I mean, I'm like everybody else. If I'm not prepared for the test, like, I hate it. I mean, it's awful. You're just sitting there and you don't know what to put on the paper. But one thing I liked when I would get a test in high school, I would always be the last one to turn it in, because I would sit there and just mull over all the questions, all the possible answers that I got wrong. Probably rethink everything and change the answers and probably get a lower grade because I love tests so much. But a lot of times we don't like tests. A lot of people don't like tests. There's some tests that I don't like. I've went to and haven't. Like, sometimes in life I feel like people are testing me. You ever feel like somebody's testing you? Just say, Lord, help me. You ever feel like sometimes, I know people talk about the Lord is testing me. That's okay, but the Lord's not necessarily just trying to make you fail. He's trying to build you up, and sometimes we go through things, and so that's a good thing to say. He's putting me through a test. It's not always fun, but today this commandment tells us to test the spirits and see if they're from God. So I want to jump right in here. A test is something to make sure something is operating correctly. All right, a test is a way to evaluate something and see if it's doing what it should do. So some of us take a diagnostic test. We might test something on our car. Some of us at work might do some kind of testing, test the equipment, see if it's running. So one thing that John is calling us to do is to test the spirits that are out there. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I got five things I want to share with you, five different tests that you can kind of run by yourself. And you're not having to take a test. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not making you take a test. None of this will be on a test. We aren't allowed to give you tests. I've tried to do youth ministry before, and I gave kids tests. That didn't go well. I'll just say that. But so you're not getting a test. You're going to be the one testing other things, okay? You're going to be testing the spirits that are out here. All right, let me get started. Number one, I call it this, and this is on your paper. There's a little question you can fill in there if you like, if you have a pen. First is the blind spiritual danger test. The blind spiritual danger test. And there's the question. Do you see the unseen danger stacked up against you? So anybody that's willing, would you just trust me for a second and close your eyes? Because it's going to be a blind test, okay? So close your eyes. Just close them. Close them real tight so that you can't see anything. And one thing I brought today, I have a magic wand, all right? I have a magic wand. Don't look. I see some of you looking. I have a magic wand, and right now I am waving it over all of you just like the fairy godmother. All right, I'm waving the wand over you, and I am changing reality as you know it. There is now no danger anywhere, all right? You keep your eyes closed. You have to keep your eyes closed. There is no danger anywhere at all. So if you want to drive fast with your eyes closed, you can do it, all right? After you leave here, there's no danger. I wave my wand. You can drive your car fast on the interstate, wherever you want, and you will not be hurt. Let me think of another one. You can jump off of tall things, high up things. You can now jump off of these things, and you will not be hurt, okay? You can, how about one more? You can eat nails if you like to. If you want to eat nails, that used to be a bad idea. Now there's no danger. So now you can, all right? So you can open your eyes. I know everyone's half the crew is going to be asleep today. How many of you, just kind of getting to know, your eyes were closed. How many of you were convinced that I changed your reality so that you can now jump off of high things? Yeah, don't. Who's going to go eat some nails now? Anybody going to try that? All right, don't, because that was just fake. But I wanted to do a test to illustrate something. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean danger doesn't exist, right? Just because you closed your eyes doesn't mean the danger went away. And here's what I'm really trying to get to. In this life, there is a whole host of things you can't see that is dangerous. There are a lot of things out there, just like if you close your eyes and pretended like, oh, there's nothing that can stop me from driving my car blindfolded. I can jump off any building and it won't hurt me because I can't see it. In a similar way, there's things that we can't see out there. The text calls them spirits. We'll look at it again in a second. And it says, the whole point of today's text is be careful about this invisible stuff you can't see, these spirits. And these spirits are connected to ideas. You can't always see ideas, but there are ideas out there that are incredibly dangerous. And today what we're talking about, test the spirits, is can you have discernment about what's from God and what's not from God? So the blind spiritual test first. So here's verse 1. We read it at the beginning. But it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Spirit, that's we didn't mean to time this up with like Halloween and all that kind of stuff coming up. But the Bible teaches that there is such a thing as spirits. And you know, some of you be like, is there vampires? Like the Bible doesn't talk about vampires. Maybe a little bit in some ways, but Is there werewolves? But the Bible says there are spirits. The Bible says that there is demonic activity on earth, a lot of it. The Bible teaches that. And so what John here is identifying is that there are evil spirits that are coming in to trip people up, to cause danger and harm to people's souls, to their invisible parts, their hearts. And a lot of times this is brought in through ideas. So it says, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Test the invisible stuff, see if it's from God. Test the ideas, see if they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So there's these commandments. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. This word test has to do with, it's actually an old Greek word used to identify money. Actually, it in its original meaning, it has to do with weighing money and coins and identifying them as actual currency. And so this word asks us to test ideas, test teachings, test things that we hear that actually come from an origin that is actually evil. So we look here and we see this is a continual thing. The text really shows that we continually test. And the verb here is actually plural. So it's got this y'all, or as we say around here, it's got this yous kind of thing, like yous, all y'all, all yous, test these spirits. Discernment, what is from God, what's not from God. Let me hit you with three truths real quick from this blind spiritual danger, because there are things that we don't see. We could simply say, okay, there's like spooky spiritual demonic activity in the world, that's true. There's also ideas that you can't see that begin to creep into your head that often lead to things that are dangerous, that are hurtful to you and your future. So truth one, let me throw a few things out here. There is an unseen reality of danger and help around us. So he doesn't only say, hey, watch out for these spirits, because they may not be from God. But implicitly in that, there is a spiritual invisible help from God. It's called the Holy Spirit. I talk to Christians, and a lot of Christians really hate Halloween because it seems to be about evil and death and spooky stuff. And I get that. I'm there too. Like I'm not the dude to take to a horror movie. Like I'm not a horror movie guy. Like all that stuff, isn't my forte. But there is a time here in Halloween where people are very vulnerable in terms of people have really big questions about supernatural things. Really two things I see when I see Halloween decoration, when I see like all of the dressing up. People are really interested in supernatural things, right? Like superhumans, like zombies, whatever's out there. People are interested in supernatural things, and people are interested in death and the mystery that lies around in death. And family, Christians, these are two things we need to really know about, because they're what we're all about. I don't do this just because I like showing up here on Sundays, right? I do this because of power, of the supernatural power that God gives, that he can save us for eternity. I do it because one day I'm going to die. Now, there's a lot of good reasons. We want to live for Jesus as much as we want Jesus to take us to heaven. But ultimately, we have some really incredible answers that Halloween seems to answer. So let me read one quote from Danny Aiken. He's a good brother. Wrote a book about this book, 1 John. So listen to this quote. This is good. This kind of takes us to another thing. So there is an unseen reality, truth one. There is an unseen reality of danger and help around us. So there is a good spirit and a bad spirit. Amen? So this is a quote. Listen to this. Spiritual activity is not necessarily godly activity. We must be discerning. We must listen and evaluate carefully the message and the messenger against the infallible, which means never wrong, authority of Scripture. So that's a good quote. How do we know what's true even though we can't see it? Well, we have this book that God gave us, Truth 2. What you believe is important because you can fall victim to the darkness or you can be lifted up by the light. So there's a real danger. This book of John talks about these real black and white kind of issues, these real just contrasty ideas. He says things like you're either in the light or you're in the darkness. Where do you fall today? It talks about you're either children of God or you're children of Satan. Where do you fall today? It says you're either loving people or you're hating people. It draws a real clear line. You're living a life of love or you're living a life of hate. And now he's talking here in this text about the spirit of truth or the spirit of falsehood. Which one are you in? Truth 3, and this goes to how I framed this first point. The blind spiritual danger test, and you can fill this in. Do you see the unseen danger stacked against you? So here's another truth. It is possible to see, maybe not with your actual eyes, but it is possible to see the unseen truths of God. And the last part of this verse says that there are many false prophets that are out there. And so I tell you, the deck is stacked up against you. There's a lot of false spiritual stuff coming at you, trying to get you discouraged, trying to get you into another direction, trying to get you in a religion, trying to get you into different things. And it is stacked against you. You have to be discerning. You have to discern truth from lies. Are you able to do that? I know my mom used to always watch like this TV preacher growing up. And we can talk about it sometimes. There's this spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. Some of you know what I'm talking about, some of you may not. But it's basically there's this gift that God gives where there's this secret utterance that's kind of happened, and people are able to hear a message from God because of what's spoken. Sometimes or oftentimes through the Bible, it was even that people miraculously would start speaking a foreign language that they had never heard before. So one thing my mom went through in her Christianity for years, she watched some preacher, I won't name him, I don't know if I could remember him, but he always said, you're not a Christian, you're not going to heaven if you don't have this gift. And he said a few other things. So she continually felt like she wasn't a Christian. Well, is that what the Bible teaches? No. The Bible doesn't teach that you have to have any certain gift. It teaches that you have to be saved by Jesus. And so my mom worked through that. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 13, it said that there's going to be false prophets. There's going to be people saying, hey, I'm from God. I've got this message. I've got this thing to share. And Deuteronomy says, don't listen to them. Right? It says, don't listen to them or harm will come to you. And it also says, don't be afraid of these people because you know the truth. You can discern it. So I think we're praying here for this. We're also knowing that the Bible gives us this, a spirit of discernment, so that we can know truth from lies. Number two is the Jesus test. Okay, the Jesus test. So I ask this question, is Jesus your hero, Lord, Master, and your everything is in that blank? The Jesus test. So verse 2 asks us to take the Jesus test. It's football season. Man, doesn't today feel like football season? Like you got that crisp air. Like I love some fall, right? And it's sad because fall is like sometimes just 2 weeks. It's like crazy hot, kind of fall, then boom, we got an ice storm, right? So let's enjoy fall for a couple of weeks. Get contentment in here. All right, family? Football. So I have a funny history. I've always pulled for teams. I've lived in areas and pulled for those teams, and they've never won much. And now my teams this season are doing pretty good. Even the Braves are doing okay. From like college teams like the Clemson Tigers, they're doing really great in football. And there's like some Panthers, a few other teams that I like. And sometimes a team is very dependent on one player. like a running back. The team is built around the running back. They run the ball with this one guy. He knocks everybody down. He scores all the touchdowns. He gets the major yardage. He even gets to throw the ball sometimes. And, you know, it's all about this one person. And, you know, we talk a lot about how the Christianity, we're all on a team. We're on Team Jesus. And what we really need is we need to focus on our, not just our star player. We don't just have the star player Jesus, but Jesus is the whole team. He's the coach. He's the announcers. He's the cheerleaders. I mean, he is the whole thing. What we're doing is all about Jesus. And he does invite us to get on the field, be a part of the team. But we need to realize that it's all about Jesus. And without Jesus, we have no victory. So sometimes I'll talk to people, I have a gospel conversation with people, and what I hear a lot of times is like, I believe in, what do people say? Finish my thoughts. You know, talk about Jesus, and they'll say, well, I believe in God. They'll say that. And that's good. That's good. But you know, James actually kind of takes this up, and he says, even the demons believe in God. Does that get them to heaven? Does that mean that they know they have a relationship with God? It's all about what? Jesus. God. It's all about God. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. God sent Jesus. Look at verse 2. This is how you'll know the Spirit of God. This is how you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. So this speaks of the doctrine of the carnation, the incarnation of Jesus, that he put on carne, right? He put on flesh. Jesus came in the carne. He came in flesh. He was human. He was actual human. He was actual God also, but he added humanity to his nature. And John actually is combating something called the docetic teachings. They believe that Jesus was like a vision that the apostles saw, or that he was human, and then he kind of got rid of his godness or something, and then died. But the point that John is saying here is that it's all about Jesus, and you have to confess that Jesus is the one who has come. You want to hear a few verses about this? 1 John 4:15. We'll get to this. Later it says this: whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, whoever confesses, this is a good verse. If you're hearing me today and you're not really sure if you're in Christ, if you know Jesus, if you're in light, if you're in darkness, if you're a child of God or a child of Satan, here's a great verse for you. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here's another good verse from 1 John. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Hebrews 4:4 says this: since we have a great high priest, talking about Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Acts 4:12 says this: and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So everyone who acknowledges me before man, Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, everyone who acknowledges me, some translations say, confess me before man, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. So, so we say things like, I believe in God. I believe in God. Sometimes people say, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for for him, for God. Me and the big guy have gone through a lot. Some people even say like, hey, I go to church. But that's, I'm Baptist or I'm Catholic or I'm Pentecostal. Those things aren't really going to make a big difference. These verses show that what you really have to do is get deeply in touch with the God-man, Jesus Christ. You have to know him. You have to confess him. I once lived in this neighborhood, and it was a few years back in South Carolina, and I went around and I talked to a lot of my neighbors, and I heard a good bit of this. I heard a good bit of people saying, maybe some people even coming from like Islamic perspectives or different perspectives, and they would say, "Hey, I believe in God. I like God. I'm religious." They would say all kinds of different things. And I discerned a clear difference when I knocked on a door and I met a guy and I started talking to him, or I met him on the street and I started talking to him about the gospel, about Jesus and stuff like that. And he said, "Hey, let me stop you right there and just tell you this." And he paused a while and like tears came to his eyes and he said, "I absolutely love Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm all about Jesus. I love him. He's saved me." And I could see a clear difference in this guy versus, I've heard the God stuff before. I kind of believe the God stuff. There was a guy, started talking about the gospel. He comes alive. Fire comes in his veins. And he's like, "I love Jesus. He saved me. He's made a place for me in heaven." And that's a big difference. So it says here, have you confessed Jesus in the spirit of the truth? All right, number three, the Antichrist test. And so the little question here, maybe you have unknowingly taken a position against Jesus, and maybe you don't even know it. And I want to share some things with you. I want to share this story, first of all, from the University of Exeter. I don't really even know what that is. I think it's in England somehow, but I read a funny story where someone sent out a massive email everywhere, and they already actually had a lawsuit against them because there were like Nazi members of their student body. There was like a Nazi club or something like that, and so they had some bad publicity against them, and so they this thing happened. They send out an email every day, I guess, and there was like this quote of the day. This is what the quote said. I want you to hear it. Does it sound like a pretty good quote? "One cannot permit unique opportunities to slip by for the sake of trifles." Sounds like something old school. Not too bad. You put that on your bumper sticker, right? Would you put that on your car? So it could be okay. It was randomly kind of generated from a website, they said. But guess who it came from? It came from Field Marshal Erwin Rommel, one of the major generals of the Nazi regime in World War II. So this school accidentally became Nazi, right? And there was these lawsuits brought up against them because they're quoting this Nazi. And they accidentally became Nazis. And sometimes I'm afraid so many people on planet Earth don't know, don't realize. They go to church every Sunday, right? They talk about loving God. There's a lot of things, and they are accidentally against Jesus. And there's ways they don't know. We'll talk about it some more. Let me let Jesus say this. This is a verse that I have in mind. It's in Matthew also. But here's Luke 11:23. Jesus said this: "Whoever is not with me is against me." And then he says this. I love this part of the verse. "Whoever does not gather with me scatters." Are you with Jesus? Are you for Jesus? Do you gather with Jesus? This has a lot to do with kind of our vision statement. We gather, the Gates Church, we gather in the name of Jesus to change our world. Like, we want to be on the gathering side of Jesus. And Jesus makes it really clear, you're gathering or you're scattering. Well, we want to gather people with Jesus. We want to join Jesus in his work. He's called us to that. He's saved us. Don't be against him. Our message isn't just that we need everyone to get saved by Jesus, but it's that we need everyone to get saved by Jesus and then walk with Jesus, be for Jesus, be with Jesus, gather with Jesus. Let me do another one here. This is the number four, the victory test. And here's the question: are you winning in Jesus? I love our sisters and brothers standing up here and telling stories. "Hey, I feel like I'm losing. I got a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of pain. going on around me, but you wait for that but God is helping me through. And sometimes that's the greatest victory we have in our life. Sometimes your greatest victory on this side of heaven is that you're still standing, amen? Right? Your greatest victory is that you're still breathing air and bringing glory to God by breathing air and being here. There's victory. That perspective, that attitude of having victory in the midst of struggle. So verse 4 says this, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them." Talking about those spirits, those false spirits, the false spirit of falsehood. "For he who is great, who is in you," this is a good verse for us all, "for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Is that true for you? Is he in you? Is the one that's in you greater than he who is in the world? Do you feel that victory? Have you overcame false thinking, false invisible things? There's this word, overcome. It's actually the Greek word. It's in the perfect or some verb tense. It's like nanaika amen. I can't speak Greek. Can't really even read it. Thought I'd give it a shot. But it's the root there is Nike. So we come up with I have the stinkiest flip-flop I've ever experienced in my life, and I own it, and it's Nike. But it's still working. It's still together. It's still bringing me victory. Every time I slip it on and take the trash out, I successfully get the trash. So Nike named their brand the Greek word victory that's used right here. God wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to experience victory in the Christian life. Here are a few things I wrote down about the Christian life and victory. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean everything's going well. But here's four things that I want to write. If your perspective is your perspective as a child of God. You know, whenever I have car trouble, some of you know this, I call my dad because his background is in auto mechanics, and I ask him stuff, and he kind of helps me fix my car sometimes. So I get a little bit of victory over fixing cars. But I want you to know that your Father in heaven, he's the champion of all things. And whatever you have going on, you can call him, and he'll help you find victory. This doesn't mean that your trouble and your pain always goes away, but he begins to walk with you and help you find that victory. Here's a good question to know that you're in the path of winning with Jesus. Do you have stuff you can overcome? Yes. Right. Do you have challenges? Do you have struggles? Do you have difficult things that are happening in your life? Just because you have those challenges doesn't mean you're a loser. But it means God's put those in your life so that you could overcome and see his faithfulness. Do you find yourself discerning false prophets? Do you make your way victoriously over the false things around you? Do you find yourself having progressive victory over sin? Right? Do you find yourself a conqueror? And Romans 8 actually says that we're more than conquerors. Because the devil and God, they're not in a duel. They're not sword fighting, and it's like God's got the lead a little bit, then Satan comes back, he's got the lead a little bit. It is God seated in the heavens, and it is Satan kind of bound and chained here on the earth. He causes some trouble. Demons get involved in our affairs, but I want you to know our God is the ruler and the victor of all, and he is going to win the victory for us. Do you have victory in your life? Number 5 is the church test, and here's the question. Are you alone in your pursuits? Are you alone as the invisible things in your life try to take over? I encourage you sometime, if you like sports at all, even if you don't, this is so interesting. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There is something called the Australian Football League. Why I want to talk about it today is it has more players on the team than any other players. How many people are on a football team? Is it like 9 people or 11? Well, 54, but actually on the field at one time. 11? 11, there you go. So that's probably one of our biggest team kind of things. Australian football has 18 people. It's crazy. You kind of dribble the ball sometimes. You can kick the ball. There's these four huge poles. There's the field is just immense. It's like twice the size of a football field. But they have 18 team members. So here's kind of the question in your spiritual life. Are you playing golf or are you playing Australian football? Right? Because we need a team. We need the people of God. So look at what it says. Verse 5, talking about those that that are kind of in this false spirit. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world. The world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Plural here, right? Us, the church, the people of God. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we don't want this movement that we're doing as the Gates Church. We don't want the church to just be something you go to. But it's a family that you're a part of. This text says that those that are of the truth will hear us and begin to be part of us. So you may hate taking tests, but we need to give these kind of tests. We need to put these things to the test that sometimes we buy into. Maybe it's false teaching. There's lies everywhere. We've been talking about that through John. This is a place that is filled with lies. And we need to have this discernment. So there's an unseen world out there, and it wants to take you down with its ideas. We need to confess and walk with Jesus. And I want you to know today that you're not alone in this journey we call life. You have God, of course. You have Jesus, all about Jesus. But also Jesus has given you the word he uses in verse 5 and 6, us. And we're together in this. So here's this strong distinction. Is your life led by the spirit of falsehood or the spirit of truth? Let's pray. Father, we pray that our lives would be filled with the spirit of truth. God, we ask you to help us have these safeguards in our life, Lord. And we also just pray for the power of God to come upon us so that we can discern what's true or not. And Lord, we pray that we would live our lives all about Jesus. And God, we pray that we would live our lives together because, Lord, one of the best things to keep us from the unseen dangers of this world is each other. It's your spirit, Lord. And so would you give us those things, Lord, as we ask them because we want to be a part of your kingdom movement. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you're doing in our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. To close today, I just wanted to say, if you'll take your card and make sure, if you're new today, we would love to get some of your contact info. You can fill that thing out. Also today, maybe you've made a decision to look more into knowing Jesus, look more into confessing Jesus. And if that's something that you, a decision you've made today, we read the verse that if you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ raised him from the dead, it says that you will be rescued, you will be brought into the work of Jesus, you can be with Jesus, for Jesus, in Jesus, Jesus in you. If that's a decision you've made today, I really want to encourage you to circle that dot so we can follow up with you. We'd love to get your address and your number. If there's those other dots, if you want to, we'd love to follow up with you on that stuff. I want to talk a little bit about our direction as church. I want you guys to be praying about this. We're about to get out of here. Thank you guys for being here today. So I've got a few announcements. We are really excited. Basically, a little less than 2 weeks from today, we're doing a large block party on the 8,000 block of Gulf Street. How many of you got one of those things on your door? We're mostly done, I think. But we have a few more to do. You can see, is it Justin or Lena? If you want to help put some more cards on doors, you can get with them. They're kind of figuring out how to do it. But this block party is going to be awesome. We're going to splurge, and we're going to do burgers. All right, we're going to have some burgers. I don't know where we're going to get them yet, but we're going to do it. We're going to have inflatables. It's going to be a great time to connect with the community. Why we do things like this is so that we can build relationships. So don't get so tied up in the burgers that you don't get to meet I was trying to think of somebody like a last name with burger in it. Don't get so tied up in burgers that you miss the burger family. That's ridiculous. I don't know what I'm talking about. So this is all about us connecting with people and telling them a little bit about our church and developing relationships with them. But it's also about blessing a community that I think needs blessings like this. They need to connect with neighbors, and I think we'll find a lot of good come out of that. So we have a team from South Carolina driving 500 miles to bring inflatables and other things to help us do this. Let's put them to work and make sure we are able to kind of connect with people. All right? So that's the main thing. Be praying about this too. So it's good. You can give in this thing we call the joy box back there. We would rather have your happy money than your angry money, so we call it the joy box. We're just to give with joy. Don't feel pressure to give. If you're new, if you're still kind of filling us out, we're excited about this conference. I've put some stuff online about this. I encourage you all to look at it. If you're with us, the church, you don't have to pay. I think there's a $15 for people. Basically, like if 100 people come, I need $15 for people that aren't really a part of the church. But I want this to be something. This is going to be an awesome thing. It's a Friday night, a couple hours of dinner and a worship service. Then it's like a little seminar through the day about sharing Jesus with people that you know, your relationships, people you work with. We're using some of our vision language to talk about it. Change Our World Conference. We would love to see there. It starts Friday at 6 on November the 2nd, I think. And Miss Liz is going to give everybody a card. So one thing you can do with the Change Our World Conference is invite friends to it, even Christian friends. We're not trying to take anybody away from other churches. We're not about that. But this will be a great opportunity to let people, first of all, train people to share their faith and to help people grow in the Christian walk. Even your kids, help walk with your kids through the faith. It'll be some great resources, some great practical teaching about leading others to Jesus, helping them follow Jesus. So we hope you'll come. But you may know other Christians that could really benefit from something like this, and we want to leverage this as much as we can, so just for them to get to know about it. But this is also, especially Friday night, is a great place to bring people that maybe don't know Jesus. It is at a church, but it'll be a very unintimidating. We're just kind of eating, and we'll have a sermon that really is just kind of about the vision of Jesus, to have people following him. So be a great place to bring, basically what I'm telling you, bring everybody you know to this conference, okay? Just make it easy. There's some more details online. You can check it out at our website at thegateschurch.com.